We're recording.
Okay. I'd like to call our regular meeting in the Upper Trinity Groundwater Conservation District. We're meeting via Zoom video conference. I'd like to welcome any guests that are here with us tonight. Director Watts, could you call roll, please, sir?
Brent Wilson.
Here.
Mike Berkeley.
Here.
Don Micah.
Here.
Tracy Metzler.
Here.
Tim Reynolds, here. Jared Reynolds.
Here.
Janet Dave.
Here.
And Richard English.
Here.
Yeah.
We have a quorum. In lieu of the pledges of flags, I'd like to take a moment of silence, please. I'll note that we have had COVID fatalities in 3 of our 4 counties so far. Thank you. Staff, do we have anybody sign up for public comment?
Not to my knowledge, Tracy. Tracy, if you want to ask if anyone has any public comment, and if not, if they would anybody that's not the board mute their phone to eliminate some background noise.
Yeah. If the board and Doug would keep their microphones live, everybody else can mute theirs, please. If you have a question for the board, if you'll use the chat function in the bottom of the Zoom, the little chat room, go to Doug and he can forward the questions on to us or unmute you and let you speak to us. We'll get this worked out after we do this a couple of times. First item up on the agenda is consent agenda, which includes the minutes for meeting, bank statement through March, balance sheet through March, customer balance summary through the 15th of April, budget performance through March, payroll summary through March, unpaid bills, and ComData activity for March. Chair, to entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I make that motion.
Director Micah?
That motion.
Director Reynolds, I believe, correct?
Correct.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. No items were pulled from the consent agenda, so item number 7, board consideration and possible approval of quarterly investment report with recommendations. Doug?
No, nothing to recommend. Just the report.
Nothing to recommend?
Nope.
No action necessary on that.
It's the quarterly report, so I think it needs to be approved.
Okay. Chair, entertain a motion to approve the quarterly report, investment report.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Director Watts. Second by who?
So moved. English.
Director English. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item number 8, discussion. Beg your pardon?
It was a late aye.
Item number 8, discussion regarding requests for second extensions or third extensions. Doug?
Yeah, so this is 2 years ago. Aqua applied for these two wells. In Wise County, you guys may remember this is the one when the guy came in with his speaker and letting us know hear the sound from the concrete plant next to him.
Right.
They've had a couple issues along the way. They're waiting on Matt. I'm going to mute you. I believe this is the one they were waiting on electric lines to get run. Something like that was holding up for a while. Anyway, they're seeking a third extension. And Matt, do you have anything to expand upon?
Well, as some of you may
know Aqua's budget was severely cut after that meeting. You know, from the corporate level, from Aqua America. I talked to Daryl about it the other day. He stated that they currently don't have any money ear tagged for this project, but he also noted that they will have to eventually in the near future because they are at their TCQ 80% on their allowable connections. So,
they're seeking a third extension. Of course, when we adopt the new rules, it's only 120-day extension now.
Okay.
Whatever the board's pleasure, Tracy. There's not much else. We've had this one in front of you a couple times. I mean, happy to answer any questions. But
we really aren't racking up a whole lot of other staff time on this, are we?
No, it's just setting.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it went through the process. So I'm trying to see if there's any maps in here. Try to show you, give you guys an idea of where it is. Can you all see my map?
Yes.
Yes.
This is 114. It's just on the north side of 114, right where 287 and 114 split in Wise County.
Chair, I entertain a motion to approve the extension for, well, 10776 and 10777 for Aqua Texas and Wise County.
Tracy, we have this all these extensions as one item. Do you want to go through them and do them as one?
Yeah,
one motion.
If that'll work for me too. Board, have any questions on the Aqua Texas extension?
Nope.
If not, then go on to the next one, Doug.
Okay. So the second extension is also for a public water supply well for Sea of Hudson Oaks. Kyle knows more about this one than I do. You know what the hang-up was, Kyle? Find Kyle to unmute him.
Sorry about that. I was talking and I looked up and I realized it was muted. So this is just a replacement well for the city of Hudson Oaks. It's located along the interstate, and due to its proximity to the interstate, apparently they have to get some kind of easement for something, and it's the easement that's taking a long time, at least according to Victoria, their engineer.
And this is their second extension. The first one, obviously granted by the general manager. This is the first time before the board. And you see it right there on the screen. Any questions on that one, gentlemen?
No.
Okay. And moving forward, the next two are both exempt wells, both in Parker County. Both of them, this is their second extension. Kyle, do you remember what the circumstances are on these two?
One of them is the gentleman at the time was not sure of where he wanted to put it at the time of the first request. They've since decided when to or where to put it, and then it started raining, and they couldn't get the rig in there. Okay. And then Malone's has also had some mechanical issues with their only drilling rig, and that's caused some of the issues as well. And I think that's the issue with the Charles.
These are both Malone's, correct?
Yes, yes.
So we've got the two Aqua Texas wells that are a twinned well site. We've got the Hudson Oaks well, and then two exempt wells in Parker County. My recommendation is to extend them all.
Does the board have any questions for the staff on this? If not, the chair would entertain a motion to approve all the extensions presented on the agenda.
So moved. Tracy, I had a question. I couldn't get my
unmute
off. But on the Hudson Oaks well, is this the well? A few years ago, they had a problem with uranium. Is this the replacement for the well that had uranium in it?
I don't believe so. It's not right there next to it. I don't believe so, Jared. I know what you're talking about, but I don't think it is.
Yeah, nobody's ever mentioned that to me.
Yeah, because okay. I'm familiar with the uranium well. That's we met with EPA about that super, because that's the Superfund site, correct?
You know, I wasn't involved with this. I just remember getting it out of the media several years ago.
Yeah, that Superfund site is going to be over there to the southeast from that location.
Yeah, that's back over here.
Okay.
Yeah, that's back over here.
It's getting close to my house.
Yeah, this is the Superfund site. Are you not aware of the Superfund site, Trent? No, that wasn't – the uranium wasn't the Superfund. I'll look into it, Jared. I don't know if that's the uranium one or not.
I thought it was up there by that motorcycle shop. They had it disconnected.
It might be, 'cause I was thinking of the Superfund site. That's different than the uranium. I'll find out and get back with you.
Okay. But I don't have any other questions other than that.
Okay.
Anybody else have any questions? Chair, entertain a motion.
Motion to approve the extensions.
Sprint, do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Jared, correct?
Correct.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item number 9, discussion regarding resolution 20-01, clarifying certain district rules and extending certain deadlines. Doug and Brian?
Yeah, Tracy, I'll take a shot at least starting. The first issue that came up was wells used solely for emergency purposes. Emergency use from fee payment, but we don't. Our rules don't speak to. Sorry, and there's some feedback.
I'll mute mine.
Our rules don't speak directly to wells used solely for emergency purposes. And so it recently came up, you know, that Parker County ESD bought a piece of property over off Church Road. It's off Farmer Road. I'm sorry. There was two existing wells that were used for rig supply several years ago. And ESD is going to use them, you know, to fill trucks and for training purposes, which is all exempt from that fee payment. And that's all those wells would be used for. And then Jared had brought up an issue where Southwest Water was considering giving a well to, I think, Hood County for fire department use. So I visited with Brian, and our recommendation would be just to exempt any wells used solely for emergency purposes from the requirement to obtain a permit. So rather than, because of all that's going on, and rather than holding rules hearings right now, Brian said we could get a resolution of the board put together that, you know, kind of states the position of the board. And as these things kind of pile up, then we'll go through and just all at once amend this stuff into the rules later. That was the first thing we talked about, and Brian had started preparing that resolution. The second thing was in the rules, there's a May 1st deadline for all wells that were previously not required to report, make payment, obtain a permit, but they are under the new rules. For example, you know, we've clarified, you know, like the golf courses, we lowered the gallon per minute exemption from 25 down to 17 for commercial stuff. And because of everything that's going on in the world, because of COVID-19, everything being shut down, difficulty getting contractors out, a lot of golf courses are shut down. We talked about, well, is that May 1st deadline still reasonable? So visited with Tracy, and he was okay with it, and we landed on moving that proposing to move that May 1st deadline for them to register their wells, get a meter installed, until October 31st. That way, just give them some more time, just with everything that's going on in the world. Brian's put together a resolution that accomplishes all that stuff. I'm happy to answer any questions. Brian's here to answer any questions as well.
First, got a question on the exempt wells. They still will have to register a well, correct? They just won't have to report?
For the emergency services?
Yes.
Yeah, I think we landed on they still have to would report use, but they don't make fee payment and they're not subject.
Okay.
Not correct? That's what we landed on, Brian?
Yeah, that's right. And that's presently what they do as well. This is for any water use to go into a public water supply to fill up a fire truck. These are wells that are only used for those emergency purposes.
Okay.
I need to ask this question. Like, for example, the wells next to the fire hall, mm-hmm. would the fire hall use it for washing their truck, toilet use, and everything else?
So we have some of those. The only one of those I'm familiar with was exempt because it's only like 14 gallons a minute. If it's a large well, if it's truly a large well and that's what they use it for, that's a question for Brian. I mean, washing their trucks, I don't know. Bathrooms, you could argue that's fire. The emergency personnel use those bathrooms. So.
I'm not worried about that. It's just the idea of end up becoming public use as well.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying, but for what we're talking about here, it's really just the only ones that I'm aware of that it applies to are wells that aren't used for a fire department, firehouse. They're kind of remote wells. The property that the ESD, Parker County ESD, bought was, I think they're going to use it for a training facility. They eventually may run, another building there, but, you know, the water they use for the inside is going to be minute, minuscule.
Any other questions?
Don, the emergency purposes, this is something that was included in the district statute by the legislature, and it's defined what, and we also have that definition in the rules, what an emergency purpose is. It's fighting fires, chemical spills, otherwise addressing emergency public safety or welfare concerns, or training for any of those things. So just providing water to the firehouse or washing trucks.
So all that falls under there. It's kind of my assumption.
Mm-hmm. I was about to ask Brian about that. Thank you. Any other questions? Not being any other chair, to entertain a motion to adopt resolution 20-001. Clarifying certain district rules and extending certain deadlines.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Director English, and then who's second?
Me, Berkeley.
Director Berkeley. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item number 10, management report. Doug?
A couple things. Water Development Board reached out. It's time for us to update our management plan. It expires this September. We've got to have it to them, I think, 90 days after that. So I'll be bringing it to the board for adoption at your June meeting. They're the only changes are updating everything for the rules, the rule changes. We updated it a couple years ago to include the newest DFCs, so we don't have any changes there. I can find in here everything that needs to be updated. It's not a whole lot, but I'm going to get all this done, taken care of, and I'll get it to the TWDB to review. They're doing a pre-review. They've asked for that by May. I've been talking with Stephen Allen with them, with their staff. I'll get it to them real early May. Hopefully they can get their comments back to us in time for our June meeting and get the board to adopt so we can send it off for official review. Brief updates on the monitoring wells. Of course, last time we talked, we'd had the two monitoring wells drilled in Parker County. The one in Montague County by the lake in Bridgeport, I mean, not Bridgeport, Nakona. It's on hold right now just because Associated's not really wanting to send their guys and put them in a hotel for a week. That's fine. We're not in a real hurry, but I'll let you guys know when that starts moving forward. And then lastly, Tracy asked that, so next month, bear with me, guys. Next month, we'll have our first operating permit hearing. Can y'all see my PowerPoint presentation?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so Tracy asked me to just give a quick presentation on operating permits, to kind of just refresh the board and kind of outline the process. So I'm going to go through this. If you have any questions, just stop me. I'm trying to open up my chat window as well, so if anybody sends a message. Real quick, obviously, we're talking about two different kinds of permits, historic use permits, which Kyle and Jay have been working on, getting stuff out. And then operating permits apply to any future wells, any new wells. And this is what's based on allocation of the groundwater's allocation based on thickness of the aquifer, that 500 foot times the thickness of the aquifer times the acreage controlled or owned. So Rule 2.9, the district rule, basically says that the board shall basically grant an operating permit to the lesser of the reasonable non-speculative amount of groundwater demand or the annual production allowable per controlled contiguous acre that we'll talk about in a little bit. So in other words, that value, 500 times the feet of aquifer thickness, that's the maximum that they can that the board can allocate for operating permit. Or if that number's 100 million and they only need 10 million, well, then the lesser of is, they say they need 10 million. So that's the lesser of, that's the non-speculative demand. Rule 5.2 talks about that initial annual production, and it's for that maximum amount. And it says it's the greater of 500 gallons per acre controlled of the depth of aquifer well. So if they're only going to drill a shallow well, they don't get credit for the full thickness of the aquifer. Or if they penetrate the full aquifer, then they get we get to look at the full thickness of the aquifer for that 500 gallon per acre. Or 25,000 gallons per acre minimum. That number can't fall below 25,000 gallons per acre. That's the floor. Sorry, I've got some other stuff in my way here.
Doug, sorry, yes. A real quick question. I thought we had a new rule that they had to go through the full thickness of the aquifer.
Well, they do, but if they're just going in and fully penetrate the Paluxy, that's not the full thickness of the entire aquifer.
Okay.
Because you got the Twin Mountains below it, right? So they have to the rule says they have to fully penetrate the formation they're going after. But if you're going, if you're just drilling a Paluxy well, yeah, you have to fully penetrate the Paluxy, but you're not necessarily going to fully penetrate the entire aquifer, which includes the Paluxy, Glenrose, and Twin Mountains. Does that make sense?
It does. So would the reverse be true, that if they're going through the Paluxy but not taking water from it and going into Twin Mountains, they'd only get the thickness of Twin Mountains?
No, that's not the way the rules are written.
Yeah.
it was written as the way we landed on it, just to remind you, is kind of a way to encourage drilling large public water supply, large non-exempt wells, to encourage them to drill to the bottom of the aquifer and use the deeper formations rather than the shallower. For the Cross Timbers aquifer or any other formation that's not the Trinity, we set it at 25,000 gallons per acre. For a non-retail public utility, so this would be like, you know, a concrete plant or a, you know, some sort of mining operation. The way an operating permit would work was we look at the entire acreage they own, figure out what's the maximum, that 500 foot, you know, per aquifer thickness, if they're going to fully penetrate, they're going to drill to the bottom of the aquifer. And then we would, under number one, subtract out any volume that they have allocated under a historic use permit. And then number two, an estimate of water use by any exempt wells on the same place. So let's say they have a livestock well on the same property. So we're going to take out a little bit from that allocation for the livestock well. And let's say they've got two existing wells, they have a historic use permit. So we'll take off that historic use permit volume. And what they have left from that allocation would be what could be available for an operating permit. It gets a little bit more tricky for retail public utilities. There's another step. And really this 1, 2, and 3 should have been ordered. Number 2 is really the first thing you consider. So for a retail public utility, we look at the entire CCN or their service area. And then we look at registered exempt wells within that area. And then we subtract out the acreage associated with all those exempt wells, not to exceed 2 acres. So let's say there's 100 wells, and most of them are on 2-acre lots, but let's say some of them are 5 acres. Well, you only take out 2 acres for each well. So you subtract out that acreage from their CCN, with the thought being those well owners are using their groundwater rights, so we can't allocate their groundwater rights to the CCN holder. So once we do that, Then we have an acreage, find the aquifer thickness, multiply the aquifer thickness by 500 by the acreage, and then we subtract out any other groundwater production authorized by any other permit holder. So let's say it's a City X and there's a non-exempt well for somebody that's, you know, making concrete. So, and they've got a historic use. So we take out that permit. And then we look at the city's, the actual applicants, permits, their historic use permits, and we subtract out that volume. So whatever they have left under that allocation, after all that subtracted out, is what would be available for an operating permit. And so this may seem a little complicated. I mean, once we start working and explaining the actual numbers, it'll make more sense. Luckily, none of the early ones are really, they're all pretty simple. So how this is all going to work out, an applicant will submit a new well application or multiple applications to the district. If necessary, if it requires an exception to spacing or track size, they'll submit an application for exception as well. They'll submit an operating permit application. They'll provide us with evidence of non-speculative demand for the project that they're applying for, and then submit the fees. So early on, really right up front, as soon as they contact us, really before they officially submit the final application, the administratively complete application, we'll schedule a meeting with them. They'll come and sit down with meet with myself and Kyle, possibly some other staff, and we'll explain the whole process to them. We'll go over the allocation. We'll look at what will possibly be taken out. And when they leave that meeting, they'll know exactly how to fill out the application. And they'll know really pretty much exactly what could be allocated to them. They'll basically leave that with a real good idea of what will be taken to the board as a recommendation. And so they'll submit all this stuff. Once we get the administratively complete applications in, we'll begin to process them to determine if an exception to the is needed. We'll identify everybody that requires notice. We'll send out notice. We'll have to go post notice in all 4 counties. We'll get the applicant addresses to folks that they actually need to mail out notice to. And then staff will put together a package and report for the board, which I'm going to go over here in a second, what's all on that. And then we'll schedule the hearing. Rules require, I believe, that the hearing must be scheduled within 60 days of receiving the administratively complete application and within 30 days of it has to be scheduled within 60 days. Once it's scheduled, it has to be held within 30 days from then. So what you will see, it's going to be very similar to what you've seen for exception hearings, but we've added a little bit more to it because of some new tools that the district has available. Sorry, I drink some more. So you'll have a memo, just like you always do. In the memo, we'll describe the request, kind of describe the situation, the location where the wells are going to go. And then that memo will have my recommendation in there. And that recommendation will either be based on the non-speculative demand or the maximum amount that's available to them under that allocation of 500 gallons per foot of aquifer thickness. Then you'll have the application package, similar to what you've seen now. We'll have the new well applications, any application for exceptions. They'll have the operating permit application, which the applicant will request a volume, and we'll work with that applicant. And ideally, my recommendation and what they submit on that application will match. Description, and that's one of the reasons we meet early on, so that they know where the district stands and what's available and can put that on the application. Description of property or proof of ownership, just like we do in current applications. We'll track down and make sure the people applying for it either own the land or have legal right to produce groundwater at that property. And then proof of notice. And then you'll see the impact analysis reports. So the first one of those will be very similar to what you've seen before with the well impact report. I'll show you some of those. But then we've recently had the Intero build a tool for us to run the full GAM. So you'll see some a little bit more modeling, actually using ModFlow as part of this as well. So in the memo, you'll see, a map, kind of like the one on the right, showing the location of the well. This will be the first permit hearing we have next month. It's over in the far east side of Wise County, off 380. And then you'll see the map in the memo. This is a tool Intero built for us that measures the average aquifer thickness. So this map shows the boundary of this property, and this tool shows, in this property, the average aquifer thickness is 720 feet. So the first impact analysis report that you'll see, this is what we've been doing for exceptions hearings for the last couple of years. You'll see an introduction kind of describe in the entire report. So it's going to be three parts to the report. We'll have an introduction that's going to describe the groundwater resources of the area. We'll have the well impact tool report. This is what you've been used to seeing. It's the local model using TTIM modeling that looks at very localized impact, right? What kind of impact is this project going to have on the wells in the area around the proposed wells? And then the last part of the report will be the GAM DFC impact report. And this uses the full PWDB approved GAM. It's a ModFlow based model. What this will do is we'll look at what does this project, how does it impact the long-term goal of achieving DFCs? In other words, I have some more slides I'll show you in a second that makes more sense on that. The well impact analysis, you've been seeing this. You'll have a description of the wells used in the simulation. All the wells and existing wells in the area, we'll put them in the simulation, the pumping wells. We might create some observation wells just to get an idea of what kind of impact it's going to have on each of the formations around there. And then you'll see the results. And then we'll summarize those results, what they mean. Again, this is very similar to what you've seen for the last couple of years. This is the new report. You'll have a description of the pumping used in the simulation. So there's three scenarios that we're going to run for every one of these reports, three model runs. The first one is the current DFC report, right? The DFC model run that uses the MAG values. The second one is we're going to run the model with 2019 pumping. So based on actual reported pumping and estimates of exempt pumping in 2019, which is much less than the MAC. Remember, we included that 30% growth factor in the MAC. So 2019 pumping is going to be much less than the MAC. And then the last scenario will be 2019 pumping plus the proposed project. So this tool allows us to go in and on the map pinpoint where the new wells are going to be, the depth of the well, how they're going to be screened, and put in the pumping for each one of the wells. So the adding this pumping through this model run is very specific. It's going to put the pumping right where it's actually going to be. So that's a big plus. And so we'll run all three of those runs, and then I've got a table that you'll be able to see the results in a second. But we'll have tables that show the results, and then we'll have contour maps that show the results. So the tables, this is what you'll see. You'll see one that's pumping. The top table shows all the formations in the district within the Trinity group. The values you see now are in gallons. This is mag. This is the mag pumping. This is the DFC run. This is the pumping we used to develop DFCs. And so you'll see the mag pumping. This will be the same until we adopt new DFCs, and these numbers will change. 2019, this will be the pumping that this staff has estimated based on reported pumping and estimate of exempt use for actual current year pumping. And then the last column, two columns, will be that 2019 pumping plus the proposed project. And then you'll see in the bottom table, you'll see the results, right? That first, the numbers you see there, those are our current DFCs. And so you'll see those are the DFCs we're charged with achieving. You'll see what the drawdowns, what the model says the drawdowns will be with the current 2019 pumping, and then how the project will impact this. What you're going to see is these projects, because the GAM is a regional tool, these projects are going to have very little impact on the regional scale. Now, when we start adding them together and adding more and more in, that's when you start to see regional impact. But we're going to have some contour maps. And over here on the right, this is a regional contour map. This is a drawdown based on the GAM, the MAG run, the DFC run for the antlers. So you can see as you move east down dip, the drawdowns get greater. But we can also scroll in and look at, this is that area we're showing you earlier. There's 380 right on the Wise-Denton County line. To see those contour drawdown, that contour map much closer in. So you can see at this location where it's clicked right now, the drawdown from the DFC run is 78.5 feet. So this is the one where you're really going to see the impact of the proposed projects. How much is it really going to change what's happening in that area? And that is all I have for my report for that process. I'm happy to answer any questions that you guys have.
I'm sure we'll have some.
Yeah, so next month we've got a project that I know for sure that I'm showing you there on 380, the east side of the county. We'll have a hearing, unless something else happens, we'll have a hearing for that project. And possibly another project in Parker County. We're waiting to hear back from their engineer. But it's a project that's eventually, I believe, Aqua Texas is going to tie into this new development. It's adjacent to one of their current systems, but we haven't heard back from them in a while. So we've got an application, but we had some questions. So possibly two hearings next month. We'll lay all this out for you. I'll have a real clear recommendation, and hopefully I can get it out in time. And if y'all have any questions, we can talk through some stuff with you guys individually before the meeting or during the meetings.
Board, have any questions at this point?
No.
Anything else on your management report, Doug?
No, just saying we've been working from home for a while. Talked about this for most of you guys. Everything's moving pretty good. I've been approving anywhere between 25 and 30 applications a week, so we're still moving along really well.
Yeah, I noticed our new well applications are ahead of last year.
Yeah, I thought it was going to slow down more than it has, but it really hasn't slowed down any.
Okay. I have a question. It's not related to your report, but maybe later. But on our trailer, it looks like the trailer is not going to be able to be used in the next few weeks. The point is, we were thinking about adding some more stuff to it.
It's almost done.
It's completely done?
Almost. They'll be finished with it. Jill, are you on?
Yes, I'm here.
When are they scheduled to finish with the trailer?
The next 2 weeks should be the rest of the models done with their installation, and then we're waiting on graphics. I know that company was affected by everything going on with COVID-19, so I'm going to get an update from Rob in the next day or two, but next 2 to 3 weeks is what they're estimating.
They've been working on it, Don, this year, so we're almost done with it. And then Jill's been doing a lot of she'd used the trailer and done some video conference stuff with some stuff in the office where she's taught some classes to some schools and kids that are at home. So we're still reaching out to kids, doing a really good job of it too. As you can imagine,
the reason why I mentioned it, I didn't want it to be, you know, later on when somebody comes back and say, I think we need to do this. We can say, well, we had the time. Why didn't we do it when we had the time?
Yeah, no, it's being done right now.
Okay. That all right?
That's okay.
Item number 11, discussion regarding ongoing legal issues related to Horseshoe Bend Water System. Brian, anything new there?
Well, since our last meeting, we got notice that his legal counsel withdrew, citing inability to communicate with his client. We feel your pain, right? But... So he withdrew. We have both emailed and sent a certified mail letter to Butch Hardy, acknowledging that we have now received the withdrawal of his counsel. We had made a settlement offer that we previously discussed with the board to his counsel, and wanted to make sure that he was aware of that, and we'll see if he responds. And if he doesn't, we'll probably need another executive session discussion at our next month's board meeting.
Okay. How's your family doing?
Much improved. Thank you for asking.
Good. Anything else on the legal side?
No, sir.
Okay. Doug, we have anything on budget amendments?
Nope.
Time and place for our next meeting. Scheduled for May 18th at 5 p.m.
Play it by ear.
I'm gonna play it by ear. We'll presume we're gonna have a video conference. We may be released to be back in person if we separate all over the room. Anybody have any new business to put on the agenda for next month? Anything else from anybody?
I think the meeting went well.
I think the meeting went well, and those old pistols are finally picking out technology. So,
yeah, we've been having our staff meetings like this throughout the week. It works pretty well.
Well, I'm going to jump from this to a school board meeting in just a minute. So,
if I could just get like Kyle to get a camera so we can actually see him.
Do we want to see him?
he called me on his phone the other day, and he was wearing a Hawaiian shirt. And that was pretty cool.
Probably not. Kyle, how's your dad doing?
He is getting out of the hospital today, and he is going to rehab.
Good.
So, yeah.
He's been in the hospital, what, 2 weeks or three?
3 weeks.
3 weeks. Mercy.
Yeah. It's good. Pretty rough, but he's getting through it, and he's doing a lot better now.
Well, that's good.
He just has to, you know, get into rehab because, you know, he hadn't been walking or anything like that. So.
Yep. All right. Well, if there's nothing else, and I'm going to show the meeting adjourned at 5:50. Everybody be safe, and we'll see you next month.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Good night.
See you all later.
Okay, we're not going either.
All right. Good night.
Thank you all.